Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast. Joining me on this Thursday afternoon for the conversation this week, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor from Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, thank you for dropping by on this Thursday. Great to have you back here on the podcast and looking forward to covering a few timely topics for our listeners and clients this week.
Thank you, Dan. Good to be back with you, especially in the heat of the summer here.
Absolutely. We are in the thick of it. So let's begin up on Capitol Hill. A few topics as it relates to Congress we'll cover for our listeners this week. Now, the House has been working through the passage of a budget resolution. Can you speak a bit to what the resolution contains and at what price tag? And should it pass through the House, how might this evolve in the Senate?
Yeah, great question, Dan. So you're right. The House this week passed a budget resolution. The budget resolution is a critical step to setting up the reconciliation process. It's kind of like the first step that puts together an outline of what a reconciliation bill will be. Now, as you may remember from our previous conversations, a reconciliation bill is a measure that is passed through both the House and Senate with a simple majority, therefore it can get around, a filibuster in the Senate. And the process is unique and has some complexity to it. So this was the first step. Like I said, it kind of puts a outline together of where Republicans are heading. This House resolution calls for $95 billion in spending. The majority, $73 billion of it, would be for defense. And then there would be $12 billion for agriculture. This is probably likely going to be, funding for farmers who are struggling with prices right now. And then finally, the bill also calls for $10 billion in spending for voter integrity. What this is really aimed at is getting at President Trump's desire to pass the SAVE Act. Since that does not look like it'll happen because it can't get 60 votes in the Senate, this resolution says we're going to spend $10 billion on voter integrity things. So when states pass certain laws to implement pieces of what is known as the SAVE Act, they will get funding to do this. However, I would note that there are red states and blue states. A lot of the red states may have already gone down this path. So I'm not sure how they would get money for things they've already done. And then on the other side of the coin, there are blue states that will not implement some of these changes. So there will be no funding for them. So it's a little awkward. But, I think to your other point of this resolution has passed the House. Will the Senate follow suit? Right now, it doesn't have enough support to move forward in the Senate. The resolution would need some changes to approve, to get Senate approval. I think maybe one of those areas is we see a few fiscal conservatives concerned that this spending is not paid for by reductions somewhere else. So you have a number of Senate Republicans thinking about that, among other things like, how that $73 billion in defense would be spent, and same for the ag and voter integrity pieces. So this is a notable step in the process. However, I don't think it's setting up quick action on a third budget reconciliation bill. So I think we're going to be still talking about this after Labor Day.
Helpful to have an understanding of where this stands as of today, as you outlined, Shane, a lot of complexities involved, so something we'll continue to monitor. I do want to turn focus specifically to the Senate. We've been tracking the progression of a crypto bill. There have been indications of a vote soon on the crypto bill. Can you refresh our listeners on what this legislation calls for and perhaps a timeline for potential next steps?
Yeah, this is a 600-page-plus bill that has been drafted and released in the Senate. It's largely based off of what the Senate Ag Committee and the Senate Banking Committee has come up with. However, you know, there are indications that it's not going to move forward. And most of the reason is because around the ethics component of this bill. So remember, you know, this is, you know, to put the structure in place for crypto assets to become even more part of our daily lives, right? And there are a number of Democrats working with Republicans to come up with an amendable bill that everyone, that enough senators agree to, that can pass. And it passed out of the Banking Committee with two Senate Democrats signing on to it. Those two Democrats are skeptical of the latest version that was released earlier this week. As I said, ethics is a major issue. And, you know, they're really focusing on, you know, President Trump and his family benefiting from crypto or digital assets, I should say. So I think right now we're pretty skeptical of Democrats and Republicans coming together to be able to pass something right now. And there is a rush to get this done before the Senate leaves for their August break, which is the August 6th, so about 2 weeks from now. You know, is it possible that they can reach an agreement? Absolutely. I think there are a few people negotiating in good faith, but, you know, I find it hard to believe that given the kind of complex nature of this, but more also factoring in the Trump family and what would be acceptable to Democrats, I'm skeptical that this will happen before the Senate adjourns for a little summer break. And I think, again, another issue that we'll be talking about after Labor Day.
Very interesting to hear how this has been taking shape. And yes, perhaps another topic we'll follow up on post Labor Day. Before we close out for today, Shane, yet another government funding deadline is on the horizon. Hard to believe. How is Congress working to keep the government open, perhaps through the midterm elections in November?
Yeah, that's right. So all government is currently funded through the remainder of the fiscal year, which ends September 30th. So starting October 1st, if Congress does not act, there would be a government shutdown. So knowing that, House Republicans have passed an extension of government funding through December 4th. So not only past the elections, but past Thanksgiving. And this is an effort to, one, for Republicans to kind of get ahead of the curve and get this off the table. And, you know, the Senate, it's their turn to act. And I think, you know, Senate Majority Leader Thune is trying to figure a way to get maybe this done before they adjourn for the summer August recess period. However, it may be a little bit harder in the Senate to find that that vehicle or bill that they can all, or at least 60 of them, can unite behind. I think the Senate may need a little bit more of a time crunch on their side, which means, you know, maybe they're not going to deal with this until the second half of September. This is fluid, you know, so we're going to see how the next 2 weeks play out here. But it is a concentrated effort to not have a shutdown, you know, October 1st, just over a month away from the midterm elections. That would not help Republicans, you know, and so they really want to try and get this done sooner rather than later. But now I'll say it for the third time today. I think this is another issue that we'll be discussing again after Labor Day.
With that, a lot more to look forward to, keeping our listeners informed on these very important topics. And we'll, of course, do that here on the podcast. Shane, thank you for dropping by today, keeping our listeners up to speed. And as always, do look forward to our next conversation. Speak again next week.
Thank you, Dan. So have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Have a great weekend as well. Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor from Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. And to you, our listeners, our clients of UBS, as always, please be sure to reference the Washington Weekly publication, which is located the latest edition up on UBS.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.